Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Jody Nader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. My guests for today's show are Marsh Engel, Wendy Yost, and Connie Ponturo, three amazing women. And today we'll be talking about their new book, Dear Amazing Daughter. Join us for a conversation about being amazing and the new book. Welcome, Marsh, Connie, and Wendy.
Thank you.
Thrilled
to be here with
Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. I am so happy to have the three of you on and to hear about this book. I am so curious to hear about it and have my listeners hear about it. And I'm kind of curious, though, to start out with, if Marsh could tell us just a little bit about the book, and then each of you could tell us a little bit about you, too, so that we will know who we're talking to, okay?
Great. I'd love to. This is Marsh, and I, Margot, back in, I think it was about 2 years ago, I was invited to take part in the United State of Women. And the United State of Women was a conference that was started by, at the time, First Lady Michelle Obama. And she had invited in 5,000 women's advocates from throughout the United States. So everyone in the room had been selected to be there and were in some way involved with the advocacy of women, our well-being, our success, everything from entrepreneurship to health and well-being, everything in between. So all of the women in the room were really focused on making a difference in the lives of women. And Michelle Obama brought together this dynamic, just an incredible stage filled with speakers and inspirers and educators, all different types of people. But the talk that moved me the most, the one that I brought home with me that made the biggest difference in my life and in writing this book specifically, was the conversation that I listened in on between Michelle Obama and Oprah Winfrey. And what I witnessed there was the vulnerability of their conversation. I noticed how they spoke not just about the high points of their life, but they spoke about those most pivotal moments of their life and how they had to move beyond any kind of cultural conditioning that might have left them believing a certain point of view or a certain way, or the way that they might have projected, outdated beliefs into their current moment experience. So I sat there with that, and I've written quite a number of books called Amazing Women. I have a series called Amazing Women, but I was moved by this conversation specifically. And when I came home, I began to contemplate and think about what would I write if I were to look at that kind of conversation between two women or between a woman and herself. What kind of book would I write? What kind of conversation would I have? And through that inner dialogue, that inner contemplation with myself, I came with Dear Amazing Daughter. And it actually began with Dear Daughter and grew into Dear Amazing Daughter because I believe that we today have an amazing community, an amazing opportunity for young women to step up and in leadership well beyond perhaps what you and I or others listening right now might have experienced, but that we as amazing women, we as the women we are today, have great insight, great wisdom, great stories to share when we can cultivate the strength that comes from those pivotal moments of our life. So just like what I'd heard Michelle Obama and Oprah Winfrey speaking of that day on stage, I brought that idea back and translated it into the stories and the letters and the conversation starters that are included in the Dear Amazing Daughter book, so that we as women can then begin to join together and start to shift the dialogue that we have with ourselves, we have with one another. And that's really the essence of where Dear Amazing Daughter came from. The next step was I invited in women that I felt I'd heard them, I knew of them, maybe I'd listened to them from afar, but I knew that they had something to say. So I began to invite in a group of women that would write Dear Amazing Daughter letters. So there's 8 letters that are in the book that are mm-hmm. very intimate, very vulnerable, very raw, and real, and meaningful, and transformative. These letters are not just a letter written that's, all inspiration. It's a letter that goes deep into the heart and the soul and the spirit of a transformational journey that each of these women walked. And how can we then translate that and share that, reflect that out to our Dear Amazing Daughters? And then the conversation starters, there's 9 of them in the mm-hmm. book. So there's 9 conversation mentors that I brought in that would address meaningful topics that are in the hearts and minds of women today as we begin to step up into leadership in greater ways. So essentially the book is an amazing collection of letters that have been written, very vulnerable, and conversation starters, conversation sessions that are also very meaningful and vulnerable.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. And so then Wendy and Connie are also contributors to the book, correct? So did each of you write one of the letters that are in the book?
Yes. This is Connie. I did a conversation starter, and my conversation starter came from I work with men and women, but mostly with women about loving themselves and loving their bodies. I work mm-hmm. with people in chronic pain. And so my question was, do you love the person you see in the mirror? Because most times the answer is no. We can tell you how many of our faults that we have, but people, when I say, what do you love about yourself, it's very difficult for people to answer. So I wrote a letter to my daughter. I have a 21-year-old daughter who is a kick-ass writer, actor, and goes to school back east. And I wrote her a letter, and she wrote me one back. And it was really interesting because I wrote the letter assuming that the answer that I got back would be very different from the one I got back from her. So, we assume things of people, and, you know, we never really know because maybe we don't ask the questions. And so
That's so true.
So that's what's so fantastic about this book. It asks amazing questions, and it asks us to get down to what's really happening, what are we really thinking and feeling, whether it's with a daughter or women collectively, it doesn't matter. And I think that's the importance of this, to start telling the truth.
Yeah, and to not be assuming, that's such an important thing. That is so important, not to assume, because assuming makes an ass out of you and me, as the saying goes. We can't know how other people are actually feeling or what they're perceiving or any of that. And so
we think we do a lot of times.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And I think that it's just something that we all need to remind ourselves of constantly. I know I need to myself. Is that people see things from very different perspectives than us, depending on their background and what they know and their experience.
Right.
So, yeah, you've already got me super curious to read this book. Now, one thing I didn't understand, though, Connie, is is your daughter's answer in the book as well? Or
yes,
just your...
it is. It is, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's my letter to her and her letter
uh-huh.
back to me.
Cool. So do each of the 3 of you have daughters?
That's
no.
an excellent question, Margo, because I do not. I have 2 sons. And people often ask me that exact question is, do you have daughters? And what I believe, my heart tells me that as feminine leaders, as nurturing, caring women, we mm-hmm. are actually mothers to all young women.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean that we have to have given natural birth. Actually, I would imagine maybe more than half of the writers, the contributors in this book, are not mothers of daughters, but that are know themselves to be nurturing spirits, caring, mothering spirits. And the book was written specifically to say to us is when we become the best of ourselves, when we become mm-hmm. the most amazing women within our own lives, we reflect out to the young women that are watching us and that are listening to us and that are seeing who we are, we reflect out a shift that can actually happen in our culture. That it can be a cultural shift that can happen, but it first begins with us making that shift within ourselves and then reflecting that out to our young women. So in essence, we're all mothers. We all have daughters.
Well, you know, I could relate to that, and I thought I knew that. I thought you only had sons, not a daughter, Marsh, and I wasn't totally positive, but I have one child, a son, and so I've always been super sensitive to the fact that men also need to be able to say they love themselves and do what they love and all of that too. So I think what you're saying is so true. I mean, it's like we're all in a way kind of mothers to everyone, you know, where we can be reflecting out those amazing qualities that other people can model. Wow.
Yeah.
Wendy, tell me a little bit about yours. Yeah. Are you a mom? And do you have a daughter?
I have 5,000 former college students and another 75 who are under my wing this semester. So that's that's my answer to that. The conversation starter that I wrote about was about nurturing your own style of creating. And I had had an exchange with a person I'll never know the name of. He was just crossing the street at the time, but he was in a decided pace. And I rearranged myself, like it just really caught my attention that he was going about his day in a chosen pace. And it happened to be during a time where I was growing my business. I had recently moved through a divorce and some of the financial and logistical and emotional challenges attached to that. And mm-hmm. I was doing everything I possibly could to grow my business. So any offer that came my way, whether it was teaching or writing or speaking or facilitating workshops, you name it, I would say yes, as I tried to kind of stabilize my life. And this gentleman who was crossing the street just had this, it was just one of those impactful moments that something gets your attention, like this is for you. don't let this go unnoticed. And so I was able to take that moment and use it as a catalyst to looking at my life and seeing what had gotten out of sorts as far as my relationship to my own needs, and having realized that I had started, you know, adopting a pace that was not a sustainable pace for me, I needed to find a different way of relating to my work in the world, what I was up to, what I wanted to be up to. And so I started having a conversation with myself about my own needs and about what I want to create, and then what kind of environment, like what little ecosystem I can create for myself so that I'm supporting myself in, you know, bringing what I want to bring more of into the world. And so that's what my conversation is about, nurturing your own style of creating and not mm-hmm. having that be dictated by what you observe. It's very easy, especially with social media, to look at all the other coaches, all the other authors, all the other healers, all the other entrepreneurs, and think that they've got the way figured out. But there's such an important component when we start looking at, well, what? It's nice to see what other people are doing, but what's going to actually work for me based on who I am and what's mine to bring into the world, and based on what my needs are in this particular passage of my life. And so what I love about being part of this book and process that, you know, Marsh has engaged all of us in such a beautiful way is mm-hmm. I think for each of us now, as we go and we share the book and bring it to the world, we are revisiting our own conversations, our own chapters, our own contributions to the book. And we're like, wow, okay, this is landing for me in new ways now. I've got new things that I'm looking at in relationship to this, which is really exciting and just further evidence that Marsh has tapped into something that is universal and timeless, but also very much in divine timing right now in 2018. So that's really where I just I could talk and talk and talk, but I know you've got some questions that you want to be able to cover with us. So I want to
Definitely.
Let you
I love that. I love what you said, and I can totally relate, you know, because everybody else in the world seems to want you to go at their pace, whether it's super fast or super slow or, yeah, it just, you know, we all have to do what's right for us. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges that there are in life for everyone, whether you're a man or a woman, a boy or a girl or whatever, is to be able to slow down enough to listen to what's right for you and to pay attention to how you feel and whether it feels like it's the right pace for you. So that's, I think, an awesome point.
Well, and there's this really fun visual that I have that I've given out at different workshops, and it's, you can find it on the internet. There's a lot of different versions of it, but it's an image of a snail riding on the back of a turtle. And so, so for me, it's even like sometimes, you know, go at a snail's pace. Well, sometimes even a snail needs a ride. And so, like, it's just this little moment, like, it's, and I have it on my phone just to remind me, like, okay, find a turtle. Like, you know, like, this is where I need help in new ways. And anytime we endeavor to take on a new project or bring a new part of ourselves into being, you need new things. And so, not new things from a material standpoint, but you know, you might need more sleep, more rest, more water. I know for me right now, it's, I need time with trees and squirrels and birds, and I need to see the ocean at least once a week, and I need to drive a canyon at least once a week. And, you know, these are things that reset me and help recalibrate my own relationship to time and to my pace in the world so that I can truly be available to myself and be available to the people that I serve on campus and off.
Well, I had a feeling this was a conversation I needed to have with the three of you today. I really did. And also for my listeners, you know, and I think that men are going to get just as much out of this as women are. So that's, I think, that was my only kind of worry about it, is that for me, my book is for men and women. And I think that, though, it sounds like that the things in there are really things that can work for everybody.
Well, and that's,
really,
I think,
is
a really key point.
What was that?
Go ahead, Marsh.
No, you go ahead, Wendy. You go ahead.
I was going to say that I think when we start to look outside of the constructs of men and women and masculine and look to masculine and feminine and what we have within us all, and how in varying ways, you know, a woman who sometimes in a work environment has needed to be more masculine. So I think that there's parts of this for everyone, but I, as you were sharing that, Margo, one of the things that came to mind that Marsh and I can work on as a possible addition to the site is, you know, how do you share this book with the men in your life as a conversation across gender? Because I think that there are some things, especially with the letters and some of the nature of the content of some of the letters, it could be what could assist a woman in having a difficult conversation about something related to her past that she doesn't want to have influencing her current reality, but it still needs to be spoken.
Yeah.
And so
definitely.
It might provide some courage and some bravery and some understanding that she's not alone in this, and being able to push off of, I just read this chapter, it brought some stuff up for me, I wanted to talk to you about it, can we set aside a time to do that, would be a really powerful way to use the book. But I'm curious what Marsh has to say, because she's been marinating in this for longer than any of the contributing authors.
Well, I love
what
you're saying, Station. And really, when it comes down to what the book is about, it's about having mindful conversations with ourselves, having mindful conversations with others. And that means entering into a dialogue where we can understand ourselves at a deeper level, understand our life experiences at a more profound level, understand the power that are spread throughout those experiences, and then bring those to our conversations, bring those to our dialogue with others. So there's not the old way of projecting blame out into the world, but it's more about looking deeply within our life experiences, finding the strength, finding the value, and giving way to a new level of self-worth because of those life experiences. Now, that's not an easy conversation for any of us to have with ourselves, but when we're willing to dive into it from that mindful point of view and really understand ourselves more deeply, what we bring to the world and what we bring, we reflect in our conversations, we reflect to one another, is quite a respectful point of view, a respectful place to stand. And that's what the book is about. When you look at the letters, you read through the letters, they're mindful letters. When you look at the conversation sessions that are in the book, and there's 9 really profound conversations there that will start you thinking and start you having dialogue with yourself and with others, those are mindful. Those are not something that we're looking to say, who's responsible for this? We're looking to say, how can we find the strength and the power and the excellence that is carried within this kind of conversation? So I think you're absolutely right. It's for men. It's for women. It's for women that do not have children or do not have daughters. It's for any of us that want to be and find and discover who we truly are as amazing women and who we're truly being asked and inspired to become as amazing women. I think right now we're sitting at a pinnacle of a moment in time where we can step up and express ourselves more fully than we've ever been, I'm going to say, been allowed to before, and which is kind of frightening that that's even the word that wanted to come up, is be allowed to. But honestly, if we look at it, I would have thought, you know, and I know we all wish that we'd been beyond this kind of conversation about being allowed to be the fullness of all we are. But the truth is that I get fired up about this, you can tell, is that we've reached a point in time where we must allow ourselves. We must allow ourselves to show up and be more fully expressed. And we've got a lot of wisdom. I'm oftentimes reminding my clients of their genius. We all have an inner genius that's within us. And when we're willing to reflect it into the world, whether it be a man or a woman, any of us are willing to reflect into the world, we inspire and uplift the next generations of young men and young women.
I
get
love
very
that.
Inspired
and,
by that.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that came up to me while I was listening to you explaining that too, though, is the idea of dear amazing daughter. I mean, we're all daughters of someone.
Exactly.
You know? And so we're all amazing daughters, or can be amazing daughters of our moms as well. And so that's part of it too.
Or to ourselves. You know, when we started talking about writing the letters, I said, okay, there's 2 perspectives we're looking at here. The first perspective is, well, we could write to a young woman. What would we want her to know? What would we want to, you know, if we look at our pivotal moments of our lives, and there are some pretty dramatic, dynamic, inspired, and really heart-opening, heart-centered, heart-opening letters in the book. But if we were to write that letter to a young woman, what would we say? And then I said, and then let's look at the opposite of that.
Right.
If we weren't nurtured, perhaps, as a young woman, or if we didn't receive what we believed, the love that we required, or the attention, or whatever it was, if we weren't in an optimum experience, what would the loving, nurturing spirit, what would we do, what would we say to ourselves?
Right.
How could we write to our own inner amazing daughter? And I found that that was pretty, when we looked at it from that perspective, that's where the real transformation began to happen. That's when the real healing began to happen. Because when we can learn, I mean, just imagine this, when we can learn to give ourselves what we feel we've missed or that we've lacked, when we can learn to give that to ourselves, we can find that level of compassion for ourselves, within ourselves, that outpictures, that begins to be the reflection that we take to our young women. That is the type of compassion that is so very needed in the world right now. So I think that any way we look at writing the letters or having mindful conversations with one another or mindful conversations with ourselves all brings us to that place where we're more whole and complete. We're more present to the amazing woman that we are truly meant to be.
Wow, that is well said, and I really appreciate hearing that. You know, we only have 20 minutes left already. I can't believe how fast the time is going. And I think in some ways you have answered my first question, which was why must we begin to create new conversations about the amazing woman we truly meant to be? I think you've answered that in so many ways already. Is there anything else you want to add to that, though?
This is Wendy, and there is something that I, because when the question was originally posed, the very first thing that came to mind was that our inherited conversations are entirely insufficient.
Mm.
So the things that we've been willing to talk about and that we've given space to be talked about are insufficient, and that became all the more true to me over the last 2 weeks. And the kinds of conversations I'm having with the women in my life and the kinds of conversations I'm having with students and clients. And so this idea that the inherited conversations are entirely insufficient for who we are today.
Yeah, and habitual conversations.
I love the way you're saying that. I just have to say, Wendy, I love the way you're saying inherited conversation. Because
mm-hmm.
when we hear cultural conditioning or when we hear societal conditioning, it feels a little bit outside of us. But when
mm-hmm.
I hear you say inherited conversation,
right.
It lands inside of me. It's like, oh, my gosh, what have I inherited? What point of view have I inherited that I'm now carrying out into, you know, creating my life through?
Right.
And
you don't even think of it until she said it.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, my gosh, we all have that.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Connie, do you have something to say about that?
No, I mean, Wendy just blew my mind with that. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, we all have these inherited conversations. And when you first said it, Wendy, I wasn't quite sure. I was like, what does that mean? And then I was like, oh, my God, of course. I mean, right? I mean, it's quite profound, and it's true. And I, you know, just to add on to everything, you know, first of all, when women get together, magic always happens. And this is a truly magical book of love and support, if nothing else for yourself, as Marsh said. But no, I just think anything that gets us talking and sharing, and you know, my clients are very excited to hear about it. It's great. It's just, again, it's magic. So,
cool.
That's my sense.
Okay, now another question is, why is it more important than ever that we find the transformational power thread throughout our life experiences? I'd love to hear your comments on that. Who wants to start?
It's Connie, and I'll start with that. I mean, I think that we sometimes feel that experiences in our life, we go from thing to thing, and especially if you think when you're younger, you're like, oh, okay, I didn't do that. That life choice didn't work out. And what I try to get people to understand is that all of the different experiences in your life go into your toolbox, your life
mm-hmm.
toolbox, and you get to use them. You might not use them right now, but you're going to use them at some point in your life, and all of it is valuable information. The good stuff, the bad stuff, twists and turns, mistakes that you've made, they all have a through line in your life that get you to the next place. And I think that's where the power is.
I found that to be true in my life, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So this is Marsh. I'll spin off of exactly what Connie said. Is that when the concept of the book came to me and I began to work with the contributors and the featured writers of the letters, what I found is that there was a deep healing that happens through the telling of our stories. And the way I discovered that is that we would write the stories, we would write the letters, and then we would rewrite them, and there was a depth of healing that happened through the rewriting, and then we would rewrite them again. And the more we looked at that same story and we looked at it with different eyes, or we looked at it with a different space in our heart, we began to bring it to a depth of power. So we were no longer living through any kind of wounds. We were actually living through the strength of that story, and to where we got to where we were. It's like, I'm so grateful for this life experience. And why I think that's important to say is that the book itself is considered as the jump-off point for a legacy series of books, or a series of books that will create a legacy. So when we, speaking to that and the way telling our stories relate, it's that when we go in and we heal those aspects of ourselves, the stories we've told then become transformed into power. We no longer pass along any kind of wounded legacy. We no longer have dialogue or conversations from a wounded perspective. We have that dialogue and that conversation from a rich in excellence perspective, a determination, a sense of vision, a real sense of self-worth and confidence. And that, I believe, is the legacy at least I want to pass along to our young women. That's definitely the legacy that I want to pass on to my sons. And I think it's the legacy most of us. I think most of us want to create a legacy of some level of transformation, and we can do that by beginning with ourselves in the way we tell our stories. So for me, looking at the transformational power that's thread throughout our life experiences, that's your source of strength. That's your uniqueness. That's, you know, go there, because that's what will point you to purpose. That's what will point you to a higher sense of calling and contribution. So I get fired up about that, the question itself, because it makes me want to stand up and say, yeah, let's do that. Let's do more of that. And now's the perfect time for all of us to be doing it, right?
Yeah.
I get fired up. Yeah, for sure.
Well, okay, so that leads me to my next question is, what are some beginning steps we can take to move beyond the conditioned ways of thinking and acting and to tap into our highest potential for healing, creativity, and transformation? I have a feeling we're going to get some interesting answers on that. Who wants to start with that one?
I'd be happy to. This is Wendy. And so the first thing that comes to mind is an assignment that I have in a leadership class that I've taught for over a decade at Cal State Northridge. And it's a simple worksheet where students look at a series of possible needs, and you can Google list of needs on the internet and find a list like this. And so,
is it list
the first
of
thing
needs
they do
or
is
list
they,
of needs?
List of needs, N-E-E-D-S.
Okay, cool. I just wasn't sure I heard, and so I wasn't sure if anybody else knew what you were saying there. So, list of needs.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thanks for clarifying. So yeah, Google list of needs, and then think about when things are going well in your life, and then circle 5 to 7 of the needs on the list. And then think about when things aren't going so well in your life, and circle 5 to 7 things on the list. And what's fascinating, having done this for 10 years in the leadership class, is that there's a subset of people who have the same needs no matter what. Their needs are consistent. And then there's another subset of people who have an entirely new set of needs when things aren't going well. And it always fascinates me because it's across gender lines, it's across sexual orientation, it's across ethnicity, it's across socioeconomic standing. I've done this with college students. I've done this with senior citizens. I've done this with children. And so when things are going well, what do I need? When things aren't going so well, what do I need? And then how do you get those needs tended to? Because there could be, you know, like for me, I finally decided that it was important to me to get a massage once a month. So I found the most cost-effective way for me to be able to build that into my schedule. At the same time, you know, I like simple luxuries. And so, like, I, you know, go to Home Goods or a TJ Maxx kind of place and get a really pretty coffee mug that I use every day. So it doesn't always have to be something that involves an expense. But once you look at the need, you can then start to get creative about, well, what are all the ways that I can get that need met? And then if you happen to live with people, it's a good idea to share those lists with a different set of needs when things aren't going so well, so that not only are you clearer about what's going to best assist you when you're trying to move beyond, you know, thinking of how things have always been, you're trying to get things into a new place, how the people around you can support you in doing that as well.
That's
and so
fantastic.
I know in, yeah, and
I think that could really help. Yeah, that could really help all kinds of relationships.
Well,
and
even
also
I mean, whether it's a roommate scenario
too.
or a romantic partner, that being able to say, oh, okay, normally I don't need a lot of alone time, but when I'm really working with something and I do need more of that. Well, rather than having the other person freak out about the fact that that's very different than what they're used to, they would be able to say, like, okay, well, let me know how I can support you.
Yeah.
So for me, it's getting really clear about what our needs are, and that's something I love helping people do.
That makes a lot of
sense. 10 years of doing it in a class.
So, okay, the next question is, and is what is some of the best advice you've received, and how did it make a difference in the choices you've made? Who wants to do that one or start with that one?
Marsh.
I'll jump in. This is Marsh. I'll jump in with that. Let's see. What is some of the best advice I've ever received? I thought a lot about this because I've been given a lot of good advice. I've had a lot of incredible mentors. I've had a lot of incredible teachers that have come to me just at the perfect moment and said just the perfect thing about when I was about to give up. And what I think my best advice that I would say here today that was ever given to me is that the only job that we ever really have is to ask ourselves, what must I create? And then believe in that and our abilities at such a level that we never stop asking that question until answers are revealed. And then we go for it like we've never gone before. We kind of put blinders on to anybody else's approval of what we're creating. We believe in ourselves. We believe in our capacities to create. And we stay with it until that the dream comes true. I just did an interview with a producer. Somebody called and was asking me about, commending that I had put together a program that ran for 10 years called Amazing Woman's Day. You know, some of you may have heard of that. Amazing Woman's
right.
Day ran for 10 years all over the world, and it was really quite an incredible transformational experience for me and also for the people attending. But she said that was really quite, a brainchild of yours, the way you crafted that. And I said, you know what, I really don't feel that was where the strength was. What I feel the strength was is staying with it when I wanted to give up.
With
it when the times were tough. You know, I could say it about this book. I could say it about building my coaching practice. I could say it about many, many experiences in my life. It's about the best advice gets down to staying with your vision, standing strong in your own strength when times get tough, believing in yourself, believing in your capacity to create, and just know that it's your dream, it's your ability to create, and believe in it, trust in it, know it, and become it. You know, I could talk for about an hour here about the times that I've really psyched myself into, I'm even becoming an author back, in 99 and psyching myself into believing I was a published author until it became real. So I think the best advice I could say is believe in your dream and stay true to it until it becomes real.
I love that. And you know what? It fits right in with the title of my show, which is Live Your Music. And Love Your Music is based on, as I think you all know, the fact that Wayne Dyer always said, don't die with your music still in you. That what must I create is so, that's what the music is, whatever that is. And it can be a variety of things. It's not just one thing, I believe. And it kind of morphs and changes and flows. But you have to stay with it. You just have to not give in to all those doubts that come up in your own mind and also other people give you about, well, how do you think you're going to do that?
Right. Yeah, I've always felt like when people question, it gives us this golden opportunity to either lean into their doubt of us or to lean into more strength and trust in ourselves. And I tend to be the one that leans into saying, thank you for doubting me, because that means I'm going to trust myself even more.
I'm on the right path.
I'm going to dig deeper roots here. I'm going to believe in myself even more because the winds have come up here, and I'm not going to get dissuaded or discouraged. I'm going to stay true to this dream. And, there's two ways we can look at it. We can either believe that their point of view is more important than our own, or our trust in ourselves. It really takes the main stage. And I say we all trust in ourselves because we're all innovators of something pretty great right now, especially
at
the moment we're standing in the world.
That's fantastic. Which one of you is saying that, though? I didn't recognize your voice.
Oh, it was Connie. I just said, just keep it.
Okay, thank
makes you,
Connie.
Focus. Yeah, it makes you get even stronger when people doubt you. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm even,
exactly.
Okay, that means
now.
I'm on the right road, right? Because you're butting up against resistance. And it's got to be, I always say, life begins at the end of your comfort zone, right? That's Neil Donald.
Oh,
Wall.
Yes.
That's his favorite. I have it on my and my wall in my studio, and it's like that's when the going gets good. When you're uncomfortable, you hate doing it.
Yeah. Okay, now the next question is, if there were one piece of advice you would share today with your younger self, what would it be? Who wants to start with that one?
It's Connie. I will. Just have some fun doing whatever you do. We make everything so difficult. We make it so hard on ourselves, and we just forget that it's the fun, it's the joy. That's why we're going down whatever road we are. And don't forget to keep that at the heart of everything we're doing.
Mm.
I love that. So good,
well,
Connie.
Who else wants to answer that question?
I'd be happy to. This is Wendy.
Okay.
I think the piece of advice I'd share with my younger self is something that came recently to me in the form of guidance, but it might have been helpful sooner, even though I trust in the divine timing of it, and it was rest need not be earned. And it really has changed how I think about, instead of like go, 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 fall apart, rest, now
mm-hmm.
I build rest into my process. And so I think back to, like, College Wendy, who was yearbook editor and pulled multiple all-nighters and, you know, very involved in different activities, and that my younger self, I was so wanting to prove I could do it, that, you know, that I had what it took, that I didn't – it would usually – what would cause rest was getting sick after pushing myself too far or for too long or too fast. And so going kind of back to the pace in the world and choosing your pace in the world – rest need not be earned. We can actually move rest to a different part in the sequence so that we can sustain ourselves in different ways. And rest can look 100 different ways. So
that
would
I love
be the
that.
Piece of advice
that's such
I'd
an
give
important
myself.
Reminder.
Yeah.
And
well,
is just Marsh on this?
Oh, okay, Marsh.
That
go
was
ahead.
Good. That's good. Both of these are so good. Yeah. I'm inspired.
I just wanted to say before we ran out of time, because we've only got 3 minutes left, that everybody can get the book at Amazon, correct? Dear Amazing
yes.
Daughter?
And it benefits a group of women's causes. Let's not overlook that. I'm going to say real quick, when you buy
mm-hmm.
your book on Amazon, 100% of the profits go to support Girl Scout Troop 6000, along with a group of women's cause organizations as scholarships, so that every dollar that's being profited from this book goes to move the lives of young women and women forward.
That's awesome. Every bit of it?
Yeah, all the profits from the sale of the book, yes.
Amazing. Wow. Well, we've got, like I said, only a couple minutes left. Marsh, do you want to be the one to finish it off with something to leave us with?
Yeah, I have some advice. I have my advice to my younger self. This is what I would have told myself. Actually, even not my so younger self. I would have told myself this last week and maybe the week before that. People
mm-hmm.
will like
okay.
People will like you and people will dislike you. People will be loyal to you and they will be disloyal to you. People will praise you and they will gossip behind your back, and all that is ever, ever, ever important is that you know and respect yourself. So the bottom line is you keep the eye on the ball of who you know as an amazing woman and continue to respect as you're showing up in the world and keep walking that path, because you're making a meaningful difference in the lives of more people than you'll ever imagine.
Oh, I needed to hear that today. Thank you.
I needed to hear it too. You know, I mean, I think we all need to print that up and put that up on our wall, because that's
yes.
just the truth. All that matters is you being the amazing woman you know yourself to be and the woman you know you're becoming.
Yep.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much, all three of you, for being on my show today, and thank you, thank you, thank you for living your music in the ways that you do. It just, I can't wait to find out more about all of you, and I'm so happy to have met Wendy and Connie, thanks to you, Marsh, and this, I'm feeling, my heart feels so full right now. Thank you very much, and everyone who's listening, please share this with your amazing daughters, your friends, your family, anybody that you think will benefit from this. Thank you, everyone. Oh, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
And thanks. That is it for today, everyone. Get out there and live your music as amazing women and as amazing men. Bye for now, everyone.